what Linus must be doing there, Linus.
Linus, my little Westie, is downstairs. We may be hearing from Linus when he has a firework-induced temper tantrum.
Oh, they have been something this year, haven't they? All the errant fireworks that just come. Wait, it's good to have you here. And it's, you know, not being able to have musicians here in the studio has been... I was going to say sad, but I hate to say it's different. And we've been trying to do our best to still do so, even if it's remotely. We can't see each other, but we can hear each other, and that's good. And other people can hear us.
It's the most important thing, is hearing each other.
Yeah. You've got a piano in front of you there, I think.
I do. I have a keyboard. I'm upstairs in the office, not near the various pianos that are on the first floor. This is my this is the one that I'm using to give lessons on.
My
virtual lessons. But it sounds pretty good. Doesn't sound bad, right?
It sounds great. I just made a couple adjustments on our end to make it sound even better. It's a nice piano. Can you humor us with that again?
Can I hit you with that?
Yeah, or anything you'd like to play. Sounds good. You might want to turn that down just a teeny bit on your end, just a teeny, teeny bit, as we do a sound check before your very ears here at the Saturday Light Brigade. That's probably better, and then I can make a few more
adjustments as we go along. It's professional show business.
It is. What's live, you know. We could be pre-recording a lot of these segments or featuring past live segments. Live is fun.
Live is much more fun. There's all types of wonderful things that happen as a result of that, like Linus having a temper tantrum.
Yes.
Linus is my Westie, ladies and gentlemen.
And
Linus is going to be 2 years old in a couple of days, too.
That's amazing. Well,
you know. It's going to be a big birthday party up for Spring Hill for him.
George the cat just turned one, and... we're having a little trouble because, you know, Gracie the cat passed away. George joined us, and we keep referring to George as a girl because we haven't, I don't think we've ever had a boy cat. So poor George. Every now and then it's like, where is she? And we realize, oops. I don't think he realizes it, though.
It's a cat. They don't care.
Nah. So what have you been up to?
I've been in survival mode.
Yeah.
It's you know, I'm working on projects for the future. I'm also going to do the one thing that's going to be happening very soon is I'm going to be along with Chad Hunter and the good folks at the Rango's Giant Cinema at the Carnegie Science Center this Thursday, July the 9th. We will be streaming two Charlie Chaplin silent films with me playing live along with it.
Wow.
And this is going to be this is the first experiment with this. We've been doing lots of rehearsals and trying to figure out how to stream video without the kind of the stuttered effect that ends up happening on a lot of... web browsers, and we're getting close to it.
It is not easy. It's okay for phone calls and meetings, but if you try to use it as a basis for art, it can be really tough.
It can be tough, but we're getting better at it, and so that's going to be. I'm sure, Larry, you can look it up on your computer there, and post a link to it. I know Paul Guggenheimer did a. Little article about it for the Trib, and you can follow those links and you can sign up. It is open to the public. It is free to members, and it is a small fee for households.
So you'll Will you be at the Science Center along with the film, and then people can watch it being streamed?
No, I will be here on Spring Hill.
Okay.
Playing remotely while a film is being streamed from some supercomputer somewhere. It's all got to be on the north side.
And if it's the Rangos, that big, I forget the name for it. It's not Omnimax, but some huge. I was just wondering, do we all have to construct little domes in our homes to do this correctly, or what do we do?
I think you can watch it on your device, whatever it is. You can watch it on your iPad. You can watch it on your phone. You can watch it on your laptop. You could maybe even watch it on your Edison cylinder machine.
I've got nothing but time. I was going to call up Bucky Fuller and see what I could do here. We make this big, nice geodesic dome to watch. Well, that should be fun. You make it seem so easy, but I can't imagine what's going through your mind as you play to a film. How do you figure that out?
Well, I mean, the scores that I've done, for the ones that we're going to do on Thursday, I spend years working on them. I mean, I just with a Chaplin film, the music, particularly with silent cinema, it's a very important thing. The music is going to change your reaction to it. one of the stories I tell is there's two versions of a Charlie Chaplin, Roscoe Arbuckle film that has two different scores to it, both expertly played by exceptional professional musicians. And one of them is using upbeat, funny music. Well, I hate to call it funny music, but it's more upbeat, happy music. And the other one is ironic, ballet-inspired things. And the one that really gets the laughs from people is the one that has the irony. Chaplin actually talked about this idea of... the reason why Chaplin started scoring his own films was, he said, and I quote, "I was tired of Hollywood ruining what I was doing by using funny music." And funny music is going to, you know, he's competing against the music. It's the irony between something, you know, wild appearing on the screen and then very beautiful. Beautiful ballet or classical sounding music behind it all. And it's that juxtaposition between those two ideas that really bring the laughs. And that's, Chaplin did the very same thing. So when I'm writing scores for these films, I just try to imagine, what would Charlie Chaplin do?
I was just thinking, what would Charlie Chaplin do today with the technology we have, where he could really almost work with the musician to get things exactly the way he wanted them.
He actually did it back then, too. That's one of the things. Technology presents lots of limitations. And you cannot imagine how much you could accomplish with just a piece of paper and a pencil. Or, I mean, Brahms got everybody doing what he wanted to do without all the technology.
Yeah.
I'm somewhat of a Luddite, although, Larry, you'll be shocked to hear I've got a iPhone.
Oh, look at you.
Well, don't look. Well, you can't look at me. You can listen to me.
Did you put like a hinge and some plastic on the front of it so it still flips open?
No, not yet. I'm trying not to, but it was just like I had to give in to the the crowd.
So do it all. Would he look at a print and then sit with a musician and like talk about what he ultimately wanted in the background? I was always under the impression the pianist basically played whatever he felt was appropriate to match the film.
Well, there were different things. Like, depending upon where you saw these films, you would have anything from a piano player up to a full symphony orchestra. You know, Heinz Hall was a silent movie house.
Wow.
Heinz Hall was a silent movie house. The Benedum was originally the Stanley Theater. And if you look on the side of it, they still haven't taken it down. It said Stanley Photoplay. And there were full orchestras accompanying movies from, I think, maybe 11 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock at night.
What an amazing thing.
Oh, yeah. And so, it wouldn't, I mean, our misconception of someone just kind of playing silly music on a piano while people throw pies at each other, that's a myth.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You'd have full orchestras playing for these films, and some of these films were there were some beautiful dramatic films as well. Maybe we should talk about the Pittsburgh Classic Movie Club.
Oh, absolutely.
People need to know about.
Tell you what, before we do that, would you like to play something? I feel like the piano there is probably feeling left out.
Well, not really. What do you want to hear, Larry? What should I play for? Do you want to hear something from one of the Chaplin things, or would you like me to unleash my Mill Hunky Maharaja identity upon you? Shall I unleash my Gringo Star tango personality?
Oh, my goodness.
What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
The many faces of Tom Roberts. The many hands of Tom Roberts.
Just two. It's just an illusion, though.
Yes.
There's more than two.
I would like to... I would be grateful for you to do whatever it is you'd like to do.
All right. I'm going to play for you a little number by a man that was called the greatest gay black one-eyed junkie to come out of the city of New Orleans, the Bayou Maharaja, the great James Booker, a man that was classically trained and was capable of doing multiple things in each hand simultaneously. So doing two things in his left hand while he does two things in his right hand. The average person would play this tune just like that, a single bass note and a chord. I'm stealing Harry Connick Jr.'s bit on this. Harry Connick Jr. was probably the most famous of James Booker's students. But James Booker will turn this all inside out and make it wonderful. So this is On the Sunny Side of the Street, if I can play it. Thank you.
think we got it all.
You didn't hang up on me this
time. No, we'll fix it up in post, too. I'm glad you explained the hands before you played that. Not the very fact that you're using your hands, but the fact of what the hands are doing. I was listening for that. That's really amazing.
Yeah, just the left hand by itself is doing it.
Yeah.
It's all a magic trick, Larry. It's all an illusion.
It's something. You just reminded me of growing up, and my mom, who had the Weavers songbook and the Fats Waller songbook, and would always play piano for me, really worked hard to get me to learn how to do the standard left hand boogie woogie, you know, bop, 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 bop. Yeah.
That?
Yeah, and I really got good at it. And, you know, she taught me, you know, the John Thompson piano method too, but she really wanted me to learn all types of music.
Oh, John Thompson. Fun? You gotta play boogie woogie. You know what, Larry? I got a plan. Next time we get together, we'll do a little boogie woogie duet.
If we do it at like maybe 60 beats per minute, I might be able to keep up.
That's all right. You got plenty of time to practice.
You mentioned teaching. That still goes on in these times. You've taught remotely before, I'm sure, right?
I have not. But I'm doing all these lessons remotely. You wouldn't believe how incredibly well it works as long as I have had some prior connection with these folks. I have a sixth grader that is literally playing without music the Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood music exactly as Johnny Costa played it.
Wow.
And that's not Tadal. Tadal is doing everything. We'll get Tadal on the air someday for you too. Maybe we can do a remote Tadal experience.
Oh, that would be fun.
Tadal can do all this that I just played for you, like all the New Orleans R&B stuff, and he can do Dr. John and Professor Longhair and James Booker, and he can also do Chopin, he can also do Bach. But, you know, a lot of reasons why people don't accomplish what they're capable of accomplishing is someone has told them it is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have a preconceived notion that they can't do it. And a lot of times these preconceptions come from other people telling you what you can and cannot do.
You know, I said, I expressed something very similar to that a lot of times. And it's like, well, the reason I'm able to do this with just this many people and whatever, you know, is because nobody ever told me that I couldn't do it that way.
Exactly. No, exactly. When people tell you you can't do something, then you can't do it. If you can do anything that you can imagine yourself doing, and it does require work, it requires work to do it, but you have no limitations.
Yeah, it requires work, and in a very, you can take it however you mean to. It requires faith, too, in yourself.
Yes, it does.
And where you intend to go. And the older I get, I think about it, you know, I have to have faith that somebody is listening to you and me right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Beautiful. Beautiful, Larry. It is those things. It's faith, it's imagination, and the most important thing is love.
Yeah.
You have to love it. When you love something and you are doing it out of that love, then there will be someone that will react to it. Now, sadly, there are also lots of people, and this is one of the things that's a big frustration for me, is because I generally try to share happiness with people, there are certain people that think, how can you be happy right now? That's not important. You know, there are people that think, oh, he's so angry. That's so profound. And, oh, he's happy. There's nothing. It is a very serious business to share happiness with other people. It's very, very easy to share hatred and fear and awful things like that. It is a very important and difficult thing to share happiness with people. This is why I'm so sad I don't get to play with my brothers in beans, Wayno and Dave Klug, the red beans and rice combo. We like to share happiness with people. We want to make people feel good. That's pretty much everything I try to do, is to help other people do what they do. And, you know, when I've got these virtual lessons, it works exceptionally well.
Yeah, it's good. And by the way, to Dow, who we've been talking about, this is Tom Roberts. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. It's kind of like you're eavesdropping on a party line conversation. To Dow is a young man.
To Dow Tomokio.
He's maybe 13.
13.
Hey, I got it. I just was guessing. 13, and has been a student of Tom's, I think, since he was 8 or 9.
Probably.
And is just a virtuoso, and that's great to hear that he's doing so well.
Oh, yeah. We'll get him on. We'll get him on. So let's talk about, there's a couple other things.
Well, you mentioned the movie club.
It would be really an interesting, I think the members of your listening audience would love this. There's two presidents, and I can't remember the other lady's name, but Wendy White, who is listening in, is one of the co-presidents. And what the Classic Movie Club does is kind of the cinema equivalent of what my Hot Club of Pittsburgh does. We should talk about that. But they will let people know that there is more movies out there than the average person. I'll tell you what, Larry, I will put you in touch with Wendy White. And she can tell you about all of the things that she is doing and that the movie club is doing, because she will do it a much better, much greater justice than I will.
It'd be great to talk with her. Yeah, and she had me, one of the first movies they did was An American in Paris. And, you know, with our mutual love of Oscar Levant.
Oscar Levant, yeah.
I knew absolutely. I wanted to be part of that.
Well, I'm glad you're part of it. But yeah, we'll let her talk to you about that. You know what I'd like to talk about right now? I'd like to talk about the Hot Club of Pittsburgh.
The Hot Club of Pittsburgh is doing great things. You're bringing back parlor music, parlor fun.
Parlor fun?
Yeah, well, I think so. You go over and listen to records at somebody's house. You sit in the parlor.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, a lot of it is... there's going to be a longer thing, I guess, on one of the other radio stations, I think, on Monday. Who knows if it's longer or not.
Even know there were others.
Okay. There aren't. I really don't listen to the radio. So the Hot Club of Pittsburgh is an educational entertainment group where people gather together in public or now private places. And now we're going to be doing some things that are outdoors, socially distant. But people get together and listen to music that they have never had the opportunity to hear. Phil Schaap are you familiar with the name Phil Schaap?
I am, but I can't recall why.
Phil Schaap is a New York DJ. I think he has the longest running syndicated jazz program called Bird Flight.
Oh, that's yes.
And he is a curator at Jazz at Lincoln Center, and he teaches at all the universities. And he is an actual friend of mine, not a Facebook friend, a real person that we can call and talk to each other. And last summer, actually, he was talking with me about the identification of a pianist on a recording session from 1930 that he didn't feel that it was this guy Frank Froben. And he said, well, who could it be? And so it was a great experience, because then I was like talking with Dan Morgenstern and Scott Wenzel from Mosaic Records, and we were all just kind of discussing the piano player on these 1930 Jack Purvis records. And it became very psychological, like, why don't you think it's this person, and what had you heard before? And it was fascinating. It was a lot of fun. In the middle of it all, Phil and I were talking on the phone, and he said, Tom, you need to start a hot club in Pittsburgh.
Hmm.
And I said, what the hell is a hot club? So you get people together, and you listen to recordings, and then you can do other events as well that are based upon it. And so the hot club has been doing very, very well in terms of bringing in... I actually bring in a wind-up Victrola to let people hear these things, because I just find that if I were to just play a bunch of records on a modern turntable, people would like ignore it. It's not a DJ thing, but so you play these on a wind-up machine, a portable wind-up machine, and the sound on it is beyond belief. You will not believe what it sounds like. And then in addition to this, we also present lectures about musicians that there are major misconceptions about. One of the major things that I do is discussing the importance of Louis Armstrong. And sadly, there are many people who are unaware of the importance of Louis Armstrong. There are many educated people who think that Louis Armstrong is a one-hit wonder from the 1960s.
Yeah.
And they have no idea that he changed everything. So I do this presentation, and rather than coming off as this know-it-all academic, I will present evidence. I said, here, you will listen with your own ears. I don't expect you to believe me. I trust that you will hear this, and if your heart is open, you will hear what is happening. And I present all of this information for people to hear it. And the people that have experienced it have all said, oh my God, why doesn't everybody know this? And I said, well, you do now. Share this with people. And I do a whole presentation on the discarded legacy of all the Pittsburgh music prior to 1950. You know, when I've discovered all of these recordings and all of this history, and I call it the forgotten history of Pittsburgh jazz. And so that's a lot what the, you know, we do these presentations in public and now private places.
Well, what I like, and mind you, I have not been to a hot club.
I know, you haven't been here, but you got to come to some of these,
but
Larry.
I know, I have a sense of what happens is, first of all, as you mentioned with Phil Schaap, you're really in the presence of somebody. You're not in a Facebook group. You're actually physically present with somebody, and you're actually hearing stylus make its way through the groove of the record, out the horn attached to the Victrola, mm-hmm. And that was exactly how the musician got their sound into that piece of acetate.
That is exactly right, or shellac initially. Yeah. So, because the reason why, well, right now, the reason why you're hearing my voice is all these vibrations are being transferred into all types of little zeros and ones, and you're getting an approximation of what my voice is like. Whereas when you and I are both in the studio together, and we're hearing one another, we're experiencing vibration created by breath. And when we feel that vibration, we're experiencing the life force of that person. And the way that things were recorded originally, rather than a bunch of little zeros and ones, the breath of that individual was physically etched into, well, the vibrations created by the breath of that individual were physically etched within the grooves of that record. And so when you put a needle into that groove, you are one step away from that person.
Yeah, and you're also literally, and similarly, you're literally steps away, or these days 6 feet away, from the person you're listening with, which is really exciting. And the other thing, you know, everybody likes to make their own mix list or playlist. Let somebody else do that for you, and let that person be a person as opposed to an algorithm. And, you know, actually play from their heart some things. You know, take turns, but...
No, we're not going to take turns. I do it all myself.
But it's,
well, eventually we can do things like that. But yeah. What I have within my collection, and I have played, I mean, I have like the first records of Louis Armstrong. I have the first Billie Holiday record. But I also discovered recordings by Roger Humphrey's uncles.
Wow.
In 1932. Nobody knows these exist.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. There was a lot of history that happened, and you can hear it. You can physically hear it in person.
So
we talked about the Hot Club. What else do you want to talk about?
We
got 10 minutes.
Go to the Facebook, or as Tom likes to call it, the Book of Face. If you look for Hot Club of Pittsburgh, and you can join that group and be kept up to date as to when various events will take place.
Yes, thank you, Larry.
So what does the
Same thing with the Pittsburgh Classic Movie Club. They also have a Facebook group, and you can sign up for that, and you can hear. We're working on finding ways of sharing events with people in socially distanced formats. And it's just a wonderful thing to be responsibly social with other people.
Yeah, and...
one of the things we all miss so horrifically.
Well, it might be a good thing to miss it. Maybe we'll value it more and cherish it more when we're able to do so again. I know I think a lot about
that. That is a wonderful, very Mr. Rogers-like expectation.
Well, I hope it comes true. Thank you.
So
what does the Maharishi do? I'm just curious. I haven't.
The Maharishi knows the Maharaja.
Oh, the Maharaja. I'm sorry.
No, James Booker used to refer to himself as the Bayou Maharaja. He had all of these little identities for himself.
Yeah, the Maharishi would be the spiritual. Okay, yeah.
The Maharaja is the king, but you know, James Booker would say, "I am the piano prince." And they said, "But the governor of Louisiana said, I am the ivory emperor." And he referred to himself as all manner of things. The little bronze Chopin, Liberace in living color. Just a wonderful, wonderful pianist. And so, you know, that's one of the things, you know, I'm always trying to learn new things. And so that's just one of the pianists that I've really embraced in the last year, and listening to his music, transcribing it.
Did you ever meet him?
No, he died in 1983.
Yeah.
Leon Redbone met him though.
Yeah. Oh wow. Yeah. Oh
Redbone.
No, I was just listening. I brought up a picture of him, and when I saw he was still alive in 1983, I was thinking maybe you had a chance. I don't know his... Oh, gosh, he died really young, too.
I know he did. A lot of people don't know his music here. There are people that are aware of it. And, again, this is one of the things that, you know, education is an important thing. If you're not aware of it, you can't really make a decision. You can't make a judgment. You've got to see the entirety of a picture. And by presenting and sharing information that brings happiness to other people will better all humanity.
Yeah, I'm looking. You're right.
If you hear these things, it brings joy to you, and then you understand, you get to hear more stuff. Listen to James Booker. Listen to listen to Louis Armstrong. There's so much more to these people than you imagine.
And read about Louis Armstrong and all that he did, and
well,
especially
come to a Louis Armstrong presentation if I ever get to do these again.
Louis Armstrong, as a United States government employee, a portion of his career, which I didn't learn about until probably the last 5 years or so.
There's a lot more to all of this than people are aware of. Yeah. There's a wonderful documentary called Bayou Maharaja, The Tragic Genius of James Booker. Chad Hunter and I brought it to the Hollywood Theater when the Hollywood Theater was still in its glory days. And, you know, Terrence Hayes, who is a MacArthur Genius Grant Award winner, came with his wife at the time, Yona Harvey. Terrence read his poems that he wrote about James Booker. I played some music, and we showed this film. And luckily, we had 88 people there to see this. But again, where would you get this opportunity to experience these things?
No, you need to take advantage.
This is why individuals who have something they love need to share it with other people. Find what you love and share the gifts that you have learned from that love with other people that have the ability to experience it, either hear it or learn from it.
Boy, I hope to be able to see you face to face soon.
I need a haircut, Larry. I think we need a...
I did get one, a real one, but I'm so pretty shaggy right now. I see people that have gone... I see a lot of mountain beards now and a lot of long hair here and there.
I did a virtual haircut with my hairstylist.
Oh, she told you what to do? Or
yeah, we did a Skype haircut, and it was just... Her name is Shana Bucciagrossi. She's a sweetheart, and she walked me through a virtual haircut on Skype.
That's
filmed. I could share it with people if they'd like. We were going, yay, and cheering each other on. I figured, what's the worst that could happen? The difference between a good haircut and a bad haircut's about 2 weeks.
I thought you were going to say $2, but no, it's...
2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah. It's worth the risk. We're flush out of time. I knew this was going to go fast.
I know, it always does.
Yeah, let's get together soon. Next time in this here padded room that I find myself in, I hope we'll be able to be here. I read this the other day. I can't believe it's the first time I've heard it. Radio people are defined as people that sit in padded rooms and talk to themselves. Tom, it's a pleasure, and we'll see you soon, I hope.
All right, Larry, thank you so much for having me here. I hope we shared a little happiness with people that are listening in.
Me too. Look up for Tom at tomroberts.com.